It's been a long time in waiting, and in fact, we've even had requests for Jake's Take Season to return.
No.
From listeners that aren't named Caleb Fails or Mark Sanquist. So, through negotiation, through his people talking to my people, through my people talking to his people, Jacob's a tough guy to reach this time of year with teaching at Litchfield Middle School. I was able to make a deal and get his contract to a situation where he would agree to come back on the podcast. And here we are. Jake's Take Season, we back. Your camera is kind of crooked.
I was gonna say, I couldn't remember. Is this the app that's better to be vertical or horizontal? Vertical.
Well, we're gonna be vertical today.
Okay, sorry. It was sorry. I think the duck one was horizontal.
Yes. Yeah. StreamYard was horizontal, but you're a little crooked, and we have a big YouTube presence now. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Big YouTube presence.
Big YouTube presence. Did you get your gold play button in the mail yet for having, I don't remember what the standards are. They send out like rewards when you get like a certain number of subscribers.
Yeah, I'm working on that. We're up to 208 subscribers now.
That's not bad.
Yeah, hey, a video last week has like 700 views.
There we go.
A JJ McCarthy video I did a couple weeks ago has 2,200. So we are growing the platform on YouTube.
I think I subscribe. I'm pretty sure I subscribe. Well, I'll go if you don't check after this.
Well, if you're like Jacob and you don't know if you've subscribed yet to that YouTube channel, there is a subscribe button right on the YouTube page. Like as you're watching this video, the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, like right down there, hit that subscribe button and then you'll be subscribed to the Minnesota Tim channel. But yeah, this is not.
I didn't watch to the very end. Like, do you do like the, you know, in those, all those different YouTubers, they do like the, click here, like they put the links on their videos. Like, click here to see our last video. Click here to like us. Click here to subscribe.
I don't do that. Yeah,
I just kidding.
I do the click here to subscribe. Like, you can click right here, but at the end of the videos, I don't go through the whole spiel of like yada yada.
I hadn't seen one yet, but I thought maybe I missed it too, because you know that's what the YouTubers do. You know, that's true. But no, yeah,
try to grow the platform. Yeah. But how are you doing, Jake? Let's talk about you.
Doing good. Spring has sprung. I put some grass seed down the other day before we got... I don't know how much rain you got. We got 2 inches in our rain gauge.
We got a lot of rain.
I've been up
I didn't put down any fertilizer or seed, but I put down some stuff that stops weeds from growing. It's a weed preventer instead of a weed killer.
Sure. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, I've been umping a few games.
Ooh.
What's
your strike call look like for those on YouTube watching?
Well, I don't do the whole, you know, like most umps, real umps have like the chest protector in their like shirt, you know, the fancy like. Don't. I hold the pad, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like it's outside of my body, so I hold.
You gotta watch
out
for the beam to the lower leg though. Those shin shots hurt.
Yeah, I got hit last week, but it's fine.
Yeah,
it was middle school softball, so that was fine. What was worse was the girl later like took a step backwards and stepped on my foot with her spike.
Mm.
And I just went, and she went, she went,
sorry.
Oh, did I step on you? I was like, yep. So that one hurt.
You're
worse.
Out.
Yeah. But, so I have the clicker in my right hand, so I can't do like a, so usually, also because I'm just pretty unconfident because I don't really like umping. I just kind of go, strike.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I get momentum sometimes where, like, if the pitcher's pitching good, it'll be like, strike, poop. And then,
hey, look at that. Hey, I like that. Your strike two is nice. Is there a called third strike? Is it you get a.
No,
you get
I don't.
A, yeah. Just strike three, you're out.
Just strike three, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you're doing middle school softball, there's a good chance they'll just start running anyway. same with middle school baseball too. They just all start running. You're like, nope, you're out.
It's kind of like the basketball where like someone makes a shot and they don't take the ball in bounds. They
just
start
kind of
dribbling the ball up the floor.
A little bit of chaos ready to happen.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you back on the pod and It's great to. I'm glad that we were able to work out a deal so that we can do this once again. So thanks for taking time to come back on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
The
Especially
NFL
when the fans
draft.
Apparently are clamoring for it. I mean, that's...
oh, I tell you, I'm not even kidding. I received a Twitter DM. When's Jake's Takes coming back?
Maybe they're getting all your draft content. Maybe once you were talking about Marvin Harrison, they were like, okay, we've had enough of Minnesota Tim's draft takes.
It happened before that. It happened before that. Yeah. So Marvin Harrison Jr., Jacob, your thoughts on the Minnesota Vikings potentially trading up? Not even a potential. It's a hypothetical. I don't know if you listened or watched it on YouTube, but it's a hypothetical situation that another listener actually sent me. He said, well, why not pursue Marvin Harrison Jr.? Throw him with JJ and Addison and Hawkinson. And I think there's many reasons why you shouldn't pursue it, but
right.
I think it is a mouth-watering thought experiment.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to make somebody very... That's the other thing about, like, I feel like people haven't talked about this as much. You know, the Vikings, like, we got to get up to 3 with the Patriots. We got to get up to 4 with the Cardinals, right? But who's to say... Now, obviously, the unknown factor with all of this is what other team is going to move up.
Mm.
So the one that, like, should be scary for the Vikings fans that I feel like we haven't heard a lot about is the Giants, because they're only at, like,
yep.
I don't remember. They were, what, pick 7 or 8? I don't remember which one exactly.
They're number six.
Oh, they're 6.
Peter Schrager of NFL.com and Good Morning Football has recently predicted twice that the Giants are going to move up to that number 4 spot and draft J.J. McCarthy.
Because it's one thing for the Vikings to, like, yes, if let's say the Patriots decide they don't want a quarterback. Let's say the Cardinals, who for sure don't want a quarterback, they need a receiver, right? That is literally, they got rid of Hollywood Brown. They don't have a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So they are 1,000% Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison, right? Whatever one they like better.
Totally.
Most people like Harrison better, but there's plenty of people who think Nabers will be a better pro. Either way, they're both supposed to be just absolute studs. If you're the Cardinals and that is literally your, like, number one need on offense, why would you trade down to 11 to not get a guy that might be a generational receiver, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the problem, yeah.
So that's the problem is, you know, somebody like the Giants, you only move back 2 spots. You're still getting one of those 2 guys. You probably won't get to pick anymore, right? The Chargers are probably going to snag the other one. So you just have to pick the leftover of the 2. But that's the reason why the Vikings won't ever get a receiver, let alone we have Jefferson and Addison. I mean, if you're drafting Harrison, for example, you trade up to do that. I mean, you're trading Jefferson. There's no, I mean, that would be the only thing that would make sense. And obviously, at least I don't think that would ever make sense. I'm guessing you don't think that would make sense.
No.
You know, there
no,
may come a
not.
Time if he gets little Stephon Diggs like, but he hasn't really shown that personality. But you know, for the foreseeable future, there's zero situations where the Vikings should be trading Jefferson. So, adding a third receiver to a already pretty good group, you know, that's not the need.
Right, totally. And another point on your Giants are probably a better chance of trading up to number 4 overall pick. I think if the Minnesota Vikings want to trade up to number 4 or number 5, the only way that they can do it is if they throw in a future assets, a future sweeteners in on the deal. You know, it's going to be 11. It's going to be number 23.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be probably another at least first-round pick for the following year to try to jump the Giants to make that deal at least intriguing enough for the Arizona Cardinals or the Los Angeles Chargers if they're indeed going to move down from that number 4, number 5 spot and miss out on one of those top maybe game-changing NFL game-changing wide receivers that are available in this year's draft.
Right. Again, especially those two teams specifically, like the Chargers got rid of Mike Williams. They got rid of Keenan Allen. The Cardinals got rid of Kyler Murray, got rid of Hollywood Brown. So they both teams literally, that's like their number one offensive need is a receiver. They got rid of both teams got rid of all the receivers. You know, if you're the Chargers, you're elated at the idea of putting a Marvin Harrison with Justin Herbert. You know, that is like a perfect dream scenario for them. So, right, you got to motivate them aggressively that, hey, trading down is going to be good for you because here's all of this stuff. Because they have no incentive. The Chargers especially, right? They're a team that could go, I mean, there's no reason they can't jump back into the playoffs next year. You know, they have a quarterback. They have a decent offense around them. They have a decent defense. you know, they could go back to being a 10, 9, 10, 11 win team pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, Patriots, that's a different story. They might want to trade down. Cardinals, kind of the same thing. They might want to trade down in terms of their team futures. They have a longer window, or like they're building, you know, they're a little more on the bottom. You know, totally. The Chargers could be closer to the top, just given the fact mm-hmm. of their team situation. So,
right, totally. So, with all of that being said, I've been consistent all offseason in the belief that J.J. McCarthy is going to end up a Minnesota Viking because of the three quarterbacks that I predict to go off the board right away. I do believe mm-hmm. the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback, and my reasoning for that is because, you know, there's a lot of holes on the roster, but you get a guy that can throw the ball and whip the ball around a little bit, and he can overcompensate a lot of things on a bad roster like C.J. Stroud did last year. And I don't mm-hmm. think the New England Patriots, yeah, they got holes all over, but they also have a hole at the most important position, and Jacoby yep. Brissett's their only quarterback on their roster right now. So, like, how do you not draft Drake May, mm-hmm. number three overall? But that might be the spot that Minnesota Vikings need to get to draft a quarterback. But I'm convinced that Patriots are drafting Drake May. So then my thought mm-hmm. goes, the Vikings need to find a way to get to number four overall with the Arizona Cardinals, get a quarterback. And my belief is it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. However, I'm not completely sold on J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, but I do believe that's what the Minnesota Vikings are going to do. I just think he wasn't asked to do much at Michigan. He didn't have to do much at Michigan. NFL offense, run-heavy offense, Jim Harbaugh, and I just wasn't sold on J.J. McCarthy, the player, at four. I'm sold on J.J. McCarthy, the player, at 11, at number 23, but how do you expect this to fall? Like, where do you expect the Vikings to draft? Do they trade up? Do they stay and select a Penix Jr. or Bo Nix? What are your loins boiling inside of you?
They're certainly going to try, obviously. Everyone knows that, right? It's just a matter of the price, and will they be able to find a dance partner? And that's going to be the hard part. I mean, I think maybe it's just the fatalistic Viking fan in me that we all have. I could see us, you know, we're going to hear the stories about the packages they offered, the things they tried to do, and it's all going to be after the fact when they missed out. Somebody else jumped up. Somebody else, or the, you know,
we
somebody,
tried. We offered 11, right. 23 in the first round. You know, we did the best we could.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard with your, when you talk about McCarthy, you know, like in terms of his value, maybe should be more like an 11th overall. You know, because even like way back when draft stuff started talking, there was like, it wasn't a guarantee McCarthy would be a first round pick. It was kind of like, well, he's mm-hmm. probably in that next group, you know, depends, maybe 20s, maybe in the second round, whatever. Like, yeah, that might be what his value is, but value also comes from competition, right? And it's whether the Vikings like it or not, the only way to get, seemingly, right, McCarthy is you're going to have to get into the top 10. So whether it's a fair value or not, whether you think he's we should be able to take him with our 23rd pick or our 11th pick, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the, you know, what the competition or what the market says, you know, just given all the quarterback needy teams. So my worry is we're going to get stuck. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very likely that they're going to try to trade up. Again, the Cardinals might take the Giant, like a Giants offer that's going to be better for them because they still get a receiver that they want. Or they're going to just take the receiver at four because there's no, you know, part of it's, well, the Vikings just got to, well, you need a trade partner, right? What is the Cardinals' motivation? You know, if they think Marvin Harrison is that dude, they're not just going to say, well, we'll take an extra first, I guess, for 2 years just to give up our guy that we've been scouting for, you know, 6 months that we think is a generational receiver whose dad was a Hall of Famer.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, if they think he's that, you know, they're not going to trade. If the Chargers think Neighbors is that guy, they're not, you know, it's just you need a dance partner too. So I think they might get stuck. I think you might see a, you know, 11th overall pick that is just kind of a best need kind of guy, and then maybe the 23rd pick they end up using on one of your Bo Nix or Penix or something like that. I don't know. Part of it is, do you think, how bad could Sam Darnold be for 1 year? Do you think he's, like, you know, either way, I guess let's put it this way. Either way, no matter who we have at quarterback, you know, we're probably in that 6-win to 10-win category.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, and I think the issue with not drafting a quarterback this year is that it just puts you back another year.
It does,
and
yeah. So
like if you draft a quarterback next year, which hey, maybe there's a guy out there, and maybe he's going to be a superstar guy, and maybe the Vikings have a chance to get him. Well, there's no, you're just delaying the reset of a Super Bowl window even further down the road. Plus, everyone has made it known the cap space of the Minnesota Vikings are going to have available next year.
Mm-hmm.
So do you really want to bring in a fresh rookie quarterback when you got $100 million in cap space to bring in all of these superstar free agents to build around a guy that could be going into his second year and opening up a Super Bowl window? So I think, I think that's where the issue falls. I think that's why the pressure is cooking on Kwesi to draft a quarterback this offseason. Because of that situation.
Yep, no, I totally agree, right? That's what's good and bad about it, right? I don't know, I guess how good, but it kind of makes their decision easy in some ways where, like, they know kind of what they have to do, but it also then, right, the rest of the league knows, all the fans know, you know, that ups the market price, right? That makes the trade harder because, again, if you're the Cardinals, you know that the Vikings are desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I did see
Oh, go ahead.
I saw somebody saying, like, plus, if you're the Chargers and you're Harbaugh, like, are you telling your GM, don't trade with the Vikings? Those guys, you know, made it
right.
Seem like I was going to be their coach, and then all of a sudden
they flew me into Manny's, and they didn't even hire me, right?
So you might no deal with the Vikings. I don't know.
Well, that's what Pro Football Focus, Peter Florio, was talking about the other day. So he brought that up. I mean,
everyone's human. Again, if they love neighbors, for example, and you know the GM comes in and says, hey, this is a pretty good trade from the Vikings. And he goes, no, we need a receiver. I love neighbors. I hate the Vikings. We're doing it.
Exactly. Why not? Why not? I mean, he's a prideful guy just like everybody is. And how do you not consider that? What I was going to say was that it's funny to see the evolution of the Minnesota Vikings trade with the Houston Texans a couple months ago when they acquired the number 23 overall pick. When that first trade was announced, everybody was saying, oh, they must already have a deal in place to acquire a number 4 or number 5 overall pick to draft a quarterback. There's already a handshake agreement. And now as the draft has gotten closer and closer, that whole handshake agreement has kind of dissipated or evaporated, or just like the idea that there's already a handshake agreement has just kind of disappeared from people's minds and from reports all around. So I think that's just kind of funny.
Well, and it's because to that point, though, it's pretty rare that a deal is done in advance, because that just doesn't make sense for it makes sense for the Vikings if you can lock it in, but it rarely ever makes sense for that, you know, the Patriots in this example, or the Chargers or the Cardinals or whoever. You know, they don't want to lock into a trade down a month from the draft. That's a day of the draft, picks on the clock decision. Now, they've had conversations. They know what the market, you know, they do all that stuff to prepare for this trade that it could happen. You know, but that's something that is almost a pick by pick basis more often than not.
Yeah.
Again, they have 100%. All the leverage. The Vikings don't have any. So they get to decide when, you know, if it's 10 minutes on the clock and the Vikings are calling the Cardinals, they can sit there and go, well, yeah, 23, next year's first, but we kind of need another, maybe like a second as well, and we'll give you back a fifth or something. You know, that's when they really can turn the screws on the Vikings and say, otherwise we'll just take this Giants offer and, you know, we'll still get our guy. So, that's the fact that anyone ever thought there was a handshake deal with anybody in place, I mean, that's just not how
how it works.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, about a minute left, Jake. Timberwolves, Suns, do you have a prediction in how this series is going to go?
I got a text right away when the matchup, Jason texted me, Suns, not good.
I think every Minnesota Timberwolves fan or sports fan in general is thinking that, but
I mean, it's one of those things.
You got to get through them anyways. I mean, if you're going to really be a serious Western Conference contender, it's like, okay, why are we so afraid of the Suns?
I like that matchup, and I like that take, and I don't like that take for this reason. So, you know, it's always like, it's the playoffs, you got to go through everybody anyway. Well, that's true, right? If the Wolves are a real contender, right, they should beat the Suns.
Right.
But there is also truth to any playoff run for any team like does come down to matchups, right? Now the Suns are have been a bad matchup for the Wolves.
Right.
They have veterans like, I mean, Durant, where it's, I wouldn't want to face Durant even if he's on the 8 seed, right? There's just, mm-hmm. you know, playing a guy like that when you have a bunch of young guys,
yeah.
it's hard.
I was scared for the Lakers, too. I was scared for LeBron
right.
and
I would
Anthony
be too,
Davis.
Right. I'd rather play the Pelicans than the Lakers or the Suns.
Absolutely.
For that reason.
Yeah.
You know, they've been mm-hmm. there and done that. You know, the Wolves
yep.
have.
Yep.
But there's something to be said still, like, you need some luck with your matchups, right? You look at any kind of Super Bowl winning team, you look at the NBA Finals teams that, you know, make the finals.
That's true.
Or whatever. Like, not every year, obviously, but most of the time, they catch breaks where they avoided the team they needed to avoid, or they got a good matchup, or, like, stuff like that. So, in that way, it is a bummer. Like, yes, you'd have to get through teams to win the finals, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would have been nice to avoid a team that's hard for us, but...
Totally.
You know, such is life, right? If you're a serious NBA contender, you have to beat the Suns. The Suns are favored, which is kind of unfortunate.
Wow, I didn't know that.
For the series. Wolves are favored in game one, but the Suns are like -115 to win the series. And, I mean, all year long, the Suns have had better NBA finals odds, you know, NBA championship odds than the Wolves, even despite the
season. And now they're finally
stuff.
Healthy. You know, they're finally
they're
healthy for
healthy,
the first
right?
time all year.
The Suns' argument is never, we're going to be the one seed. The Suns' argument was, we're going to get to the playoffs with our healthy, basically, top six guys,
mm-hmm.
and then hope that they can make a, you know, 2.5 month run.
Totally.
You know? Where the Wolves are, we're all 22 years old. Let's go pedal to the metal and then earn it that way, which is a great way when you're 20. You know, that's how they got to do it when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest question, will Ant force up a bunch of bad threes because they're taking away his drives? You know, will Cat be able to mix in? You know, he is still getting back from his injury. Will he be able to kind of contribute in a meaningful way that's, you know,
Valuable,
because it's hard. I mean, it's hard. You know, we love to rip on Towns, but, like, it's hard to come back from missing a few months,
mm-hmm.
to get your shot, get your rhythm, to just jump back in into a playoff series, essentially. You know, he had two warm-up games, basically, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but otherwise, defensively, I feel good. Like, we can stop them. Obviously, they were hot. Like, they were crazy. There's going to be a game or two where they win by – Suns are going to win by 20. Probably game three, I bet, because they're going to hit – 18 three-pointers, Beal's going to have 30, Grayson Allen's going to hit. You know, like, it's going to happen, but it's just weather the storm. You know, over 7 games, you know, can we limit their three-point shooting? I think they'll be okay in the long run. So, you know, Wolves in 7, I think it'll be a back-and-forth kind of scary series for the Wolves fans, but they're the better team.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're going to win the series, and it's not by much. You know, it's not like it's an easy one, but they are the better team. They're a little deeper. Ant, I mean, a lot of this will just come down to Ant, right?
Right.
Is Ant that
and
guy?
A lot of role players, too. A lot of role players. I mean,
of course,
you can't overlook the. You talked about Towns, and will he be able to make those shots when Ant's double teamed, and Nas, and I think a big part of the series is going to come down to Jaden Daniels and or McDaniels, and can he stay out of foul trouble for the first time in his career? Can he hit a corner baseline three when it's wide open? A lot of this is going to come down to that, too. And
absolutely.
I mean, but I don't think the Timberwolves can win it in 6. I think if they win it, it's going to be 7, but I could see them losing the series in 6. But,
And we have home court. Yeah. I mean, that matters. Like, you play all year for that reason. Like, that helps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get off to a good start in the series. You get to finish it at your place if you need to. Like, that helps, obviously.
Totally.
Wolves, I mean, you know, this is going to be the last take here.
The last take. The last take by Jake.
Yep. You know, Minnesota's is lauded as this, like, hockey state, and of course it is, right? The high school hockey is one of the biggest, you know, just such a huge factor in life here. You know, all the D1 college programs and the Wild, when the Wild are good, that XL's, you know, rocking. But the Wolves fans, the way that the state has turned out for Wolves games this year and the excitement around Anthony Edwards and the Wolves has been incredible this year.
It has.
It's always hockey argument was always, ooh, like, look at Target Center, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No one cares about basketball.
Worst state of basketball, too.
No one cares about terrible basketball. Like, I think you and I were the only ones going to watch, you know, Luke Ridnour, J.J. Barea, Pekovic, Love, and Chase Budinger. You know, like, no one wants to watch that.
Like, absolutely.
I mean, that's just the way it is. But now, you know, the Wolves have had one of the, if not the most exciting team in the whole league. You know, you have national people, Bill Simmons and all these people, Kendrick Perkins, people like that. KG is going nuts. Like, Ant is the future of the NBA. Like, that level of excitement. Like, he is a top five guy.
Totally.
And he's in Minnesota, and he wants to be in Minnesota. So just part of it is just enjoy the ride. It's been a great ride this regular season, and hopefully the ride doesn't end in 2 weeks here as we get swept 0-4.
Right. The last take by Jake. All right, Jake, thank you for everything. Always appreciate you coming back. Appreciate the negotiation working out in our favor. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like, subscribe button. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for making this podcast part of your day.